And we're going to kind of continue the story where we were last week. We had several things we wanted to see. Anybody need a worksheet? They did not get a worksheet. If you slip your hand up, the men will come by and give you one. One down front here. A couple down here. All right. Put one in the middle here. All right, John chapter 9. And I'm calling this reacting to the light. And we could need one back down here in front, too. Way down front here, for our preacher. God shows us some things in His Word. Sometimes He shows us Himself in many different ways. And we talked about that last week. And what is our response? This is one of those messages where we're kind of seeing ourselves. God's going to kind of turn the light on us, so we can see ourselves seeing the light. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. Now, I hate to read the whole kit and caboodle here, but be honest with you, I love this story. It tickles me, and you kind of have to. To hear it. So let me read fast, and then we'll see how far we can go in the actual message here. But John chapter 9, verse number 1. And it says, and Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, remember, he was passing by from what? He had just had a big discussion with the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, and they were about ready to stone him. And so he kind of slipped through the crowd, verse 59 from the previous chapter. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, remember those chapters are not, those divisions aren't there. And so he's escaping for his life, but the fact is he is who he is. And he sees a need. And he's going to stop and take care of that need. Now, I'll be honest with you, when God has called you to do something, you're basically immortal until God's done with you. I believe that. You're basically immortal until God's done with you. And so it was, in fact, several times in those previous chapters, it says that they tried to take him and no one took him because his hour had not yet come. His hour had not yet come. And so he passed by them. And as he passed by, he saw a man, verse 1, which was blind from his birth. Now, this is a man. He has to be probably 20 years old. Maybe much more than that. But in other words, he's been around a long time, and everybody knew that he was blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So there was a purpose for that blind man who had been blind all his life. And that blindness, that lifetime blindness, had a purpose. That moment was going to happen right now, when everybody could see the works of God. Just because things don't go the way you want and it's been bad for a long time, listen, God has a plan. Sometimes we can't see the plan come to fruition. Sometimes things happen, God uses us, and we don't even know how He used us. I had somebody come up to me again just the other day. And he said, well, hi, Pastor Walsh. I had never seen this man in my life. And I said, well, how are you? And then I said, do I know you? Oh, you don't know me, but I know you. You got a good church up there, I hear. And it was a very positive response. But our church is making an impact sometimes when we don't even know it. You see what I'm saying? Things are going on behind the scenes. And God uses these things behind the scenes. We don't always know. We have to know everything that's going on. If we can't see it, that must not be happening. As if we're God. Well, what we need to do is to trust and obey. Let Him do His work. And He's working in hearts. Listen, there's probably 65 more or so folks in here tonight. And we got folks elsewhere. You realize He's working everybody's heart in a different way. Some are responding in different ways. We have different things we're trying to deal with. We're different stages of life. We got folks who are just getting life started. We got folks who's kind of waiting for the glory doors to open up and go home. You know, and then everything in between. And so God is working. And this man has been blind all his life, and now he said, well, why was he blind all his life? So that God could be seen through him. Verse 4. Then Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. He says, I got a job to do. What is that? Verse 5. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. He says, I got a job to do. I got a job to shine the light of God so people can see who he is. So folks will come to him and come to know him as Savior. And of course, I've got a job. This man's got a job. All God's children's got a job. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, This is he. Another said, he's like him. But he said, Hey, that's me. That's me. I am he. Therefore said they unto him, Well, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that's called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. I love it. I just did what he said. I didn't ask any questions. By the way, he still hasn't seen Jesus. He didn't see him when Jesus put the clay in his eyes. He was blind. Then he told him to go wash. So now he can see. Well, so who did it? This guy named Jesus. I don't know. Haven't seen him. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He says, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day, and when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. See, listen, I'll tell you what. Man tries to make this so difficult. Man tries to make religion difficult. They got to add this and add this, and this means this, and that means that. You know what it means? Receive Christ and get saved. Obey God and do right, and he keeps his promises. You know, just do what he told you to do. Well, it's got to be more to it than that. No, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. The guy was blind. He can see. Right on past all that. Others said, Well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He saith, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? And if so, how then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. For who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, they'd already made their decision, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, I now see. I love this. Then said they to him, What did he to thee? how opened he thine eyes? And he answered, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. He got some insight there. Will ye also be his disciples? I love it. A little sarcasm there. Oh, you want to follow him too? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. I love this. The man answered and said unto them, why? Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. It's kind of like saying, isn't it your job to know these things? I mean, here's this guy running around opening the eyes of people willy-nilly, and you don't have any idea where he's coming from. I mean, aren't you the guys who represent God if you're supposed to know all these things? Now, and he goes on, the blind man goes on and says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. You know, if a man regardeth iniquity in his heart, he will not be hearing. That's what it says. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? And if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Dost thou teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. Threw him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I know that's a lot of scripture. Let's see what we can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts. There's good points in here. May we catch these things before we go home tonight. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, this message talks about Jesus turning on the light so people can see. But it's kind of more about turning on the light on ourselves so we can see what we are. Whether we're talking about responding to Jesus as our Savior so we can be saved, or whether we're talking about responding to Jesus as Lord and Sovereign in our lives. Hang on to me. The Lord reveals something to us. He turns on the light, if you will. And then we must decide if we're going to receive it or not. And a lot of folks will go so far, they'll take salvation, and then it's like they don't want any of it. I had somebody in my office here recently, and I said this to you the other day, but it has hit me the other day so much. There are a lot of people who even kind of did this with them. I said, okay, you saved. And the person looked at me, and be honest, with all true sincerity in their eyes and their voice, I feel like they're saved. He said, yes. I said, well, tell me if you were outside the gates of heaven, you knocked on the door, and they asked you why they should let you in the door, what's your ticket inside the door? And he said, well, Jesus died and paid for all my sins. And you're trusting it? Yes, sir, I'm trusting all that. Look me square in the eye. Well, you can't argue with that. But they're having trouble with believing some of the things in the Bible. And I said, now tell me, where did you learn that Jesus died and paid for your sins? Well, somebody told me. Well, where did they get it? Well, he said, I don't know. I said, well, the only place we have that is right here. Okay? Now, if this is where we learn salvation, if you're not going to believe the rest of this, you're ripping up your salvation. If you're not going to believe the rest of it, why in the world should you believe that part? Thy word is settled in heaven. It's preserved from this generation onward. Listen, if we've got God's word, we have God's word, we have all of it, and we can believe all of it. If we can't believe all of it, then we don't have it, and you don't have salvation. But if you've got salvation, as sure as you've got salvation, you've got the promises. You've got the truth to live by. So Jesus is passing by, and as he's passing through this crowd that was attempting to stone him to death, he sees a blind man, He comes over to, and he comes to reveal God to mankind by turning on the light. However, what good is turning on the light if someone is blind? You ever think about that? You can flip the lights on and off as much as you want with a blind person, and it makes no difference. You go, they don't know. I'll try to be mean, but that's the truth. Now, some people are blind on purpose. They cannot receive it because they've chosen to be blind to it. In the same way, there are those that have turned a blind eye toward God and refuse to receive the Son of God as God Himself. And they cannot see the light when it shines, no matter how many times it shines, or how long it shines, or how bright it shines, because they've just decided, this is not true, so I'm not going to buy the rest of it. So even as Christians, we can get hung up on some particular issue that the Lord has brought to light and refuse to go with it, and thus choose to turn a blind eye toward that truth. When we turn a blind eye toward the truth of God, the revelation of truth, that God has revealed to us by turning on the light, you know what we're doing? We are turning a blind eye toward God. When you turn a blind eye toward His truth, you're turning a blind eye toward God Himself. And when we turn a blind eye toward a particular truth of God that's been revealed in the light, we're turning from the light and thus turning a blind eye toward God in general, and we are left in the darkness. Now, if we want to get out of the darkness, we must be willing to open our eyes to the light. All of the light. Even the things that the light is revealing that we don't like. Maybe some things that the light is revealing that we find hard to believe. So Jesus has healed this blind man more or less discreetly. He didn't make a big show about it. He's on his way out. He wasn't saying, hey, stop stoning. I'm going to heal this guy. Now, as he passed by, he said, oh my, they're a blind man. Okay. You go wash in Siloam. I'm going down the road here. As he passed by. It kind of gives you that idea. So he's kind of discreetly. So without much public notice, the blind man somehow makes his way to the pool of Siloam and washes his eyes in obedience to a man he's never met before, nor has he ever seen. And after the washing, the man stands by the pool basically alone. Jesus is not there with him. Now, I would think that a man most likely makes a commotion because he's now seeing for the first time in his life. I would think there's probably some kind of commotion. So this draws attention of the crowd, and now the people are faced with the decision as whether to believe their eyes and ears or reject it. What's going on? Well, I was blind, now I can see. Well, who did this? Some guy named Jesus. Well, where is he? I don't know. He just put this clay in my eye and told me to go wash, and I didn't. I can see. Here I am. So the people confront the blind man, dissatisfied with their interrogation. They take the man to the Pharisees, who also were not present at the time of the healing. We did what? He did it on the Sabbath day. Are you sure that he was actually blind? I don't know. We asked his parents. Now, oh my soul, what is all right? Number one, let's do as far as we can. Light reveals reality. Light reveals reality. God used the blind man to manifest the works of God. He used the blind. That's what John 9:3 tells us. He used the blind man to manifest the works, to show what God can do. To reveal the reality of who God is. That's what he used him for, to reveal the reality of who God is. Letter B, God used Jesus as the light of the world. When we just kind of reiterated all that in the first part of that chapter. God used Jesus as the light of the world. Letter C. Now this whole incident was set up by God in order to show who God is, to bring glory to God, to manifest the mighty works of God. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay, and at the bottom there says, interpretation, in way, He went his way there and washed and came seeing. That was something that had never happened before. Okay, letter C. Letter D. Light reveals reality, even if reality is impossible. You catch me? Letter D. Light reveals reality, even if reality is impossible. In other words, in our economy, in what we can think of, and how we, you know, I don't understand, but nothing is impossible with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible with God. And so when he shows reality, we got to realize that what we're seeing is real, maybe something that otherwise we see is impossible. But when you're looking at God, you're not looking at a man. It can be difficult to grasp the impossible. Well, this doesn't happen. Yeah, but this is God. Letter E. We must accept the impossible if that is what the light reveals. Let me just say it from the other direction. We must accept the impossible if that is what the light reveals. We must believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If we do not believe that God is and that He is Jesus and that Jesus is God, we will not be able to receive the revelation God has given us. Thus, we will seek to respond to what the light has revealed from a human perspective, a finite perspective, and not from an impossible perspective. Too many people want to throw out the Bible because there's too many impossibilities in there. Well, he couldn't have crossed the Red Sea. It must have just been mud. Well, then how did he drown all those Egyptian guys in mud? See, if you start throwing out, you might have to throw the whole book out. If you start throwing that book out like that, you better throw out your salvation and go get an honest job someplace else, you charlatan. Believe the Bible. The Bible is all true. So, well, that doesn't make sense. It's God. Number two, I want you to see the reaction of the populace. P-O-P-U-L-O-U-S. In other words, this is my nice little alliteration here. The people. The regular people. The regular folk out there. The reaction of the populace. What do they do? Letter A. They rationalize the impossible. Oh, well, you know how that they did it all with smoke and mirrors. I heard one time, once I said, Jesus didn't walk on water, he just knew where the right stones were. Underneath the surface of the water. Oh, come on. Stones get slippery. And so Peter's problem was he slipped off one of the stones or something. I don't know. Craziness. By the way, they were out in the middle where it was deep. There weren't these pillars coming up there, just a nice little footstone width. Many people try to explain away the impossible. That was what when I went my first degree in music at a secular college, the religion department, my professor in there, who happened to also be the pastor of the church I was going to at the time. Not an independent Baptist church, was forever trying to explain away the miracles and the amazing things of God. You have nothing. You don't. You know what? If you don't have the Lord God is God, and there is none else. So if you don't have Him, you don't have a God. You're on your own. We often try to take the impossible and explain it in terms that we can understand. They rationalize the impossible. Letter B. God can do the impossible in our lives. You say, well, I've never seen it. You know why? How many people have actually stepped out on the water? How many people have actually said, Lord, I'll do it if you tell me. Now, you make sure you tell me, but I'll do it. We get on Gideon's case. By the way, we're gonna work on that a little bit more on Sunday morning, Lord willing. But we get on Gideon's case because he put out a fleece. You know what he said? I just want to make sure you're in on this. If you're in on this, I'll do it. That's all he's saying. I don't have a big problem with that. I really don't. I must make sure you're in on this, God, because you're in on it. I'm doing it. And he did it with 300 men. when the rest of the crowd was like a plague of grasshoppers, it says. Listen, when I got ready to come up here and take this church, I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want, but you just better make sure I know that this is what you want. You want to put on a bull on there, Sterling Walsh was to go to Africa to be a missionary, I would do it, and so help me in my heart, I would have done it. I was dead serious, surrendered, ready to go. Now, I wasn't looking forward to doing that, but if I knew that's where he wanted me to be, then that was where I wanted to be. So when he said, I get to go an hour away to York, to Dover, even though we didn't have much money and the building was a little bit disrepair and there's some other issues going on, I'm not going to Africa. You know, this is easy. This is easy. Besides, I'm not going to do it anyway. God is. Verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, no, he's like him. But he said, no, that's me. It's me. I am he. Often we try to take the impossible and explain it in terms that we understand. No. Everybody's got a twin. He just looks like him. I mean, I can't be him. I mean, can't be. Well, how do we know? Well, he was born blind. This guy's not blind. So it can't be the same guy. Yeah, but he said that Jesus gave him back his sight. I know, but this can't be the same guy. So God, let it be, God can do the impossible in our lives. Wouldn't it be great that if after you had the touch of Jesus, now watch me, wouldn't it be great that after you had the touch of Jesus, the people who had known you all your life had a difficult time recognizing you? Who's this guy? Well, I know it looks like the same guy, but I knew him in high school. This is not the same guy. This guy's a different person. I mean, I know what he got into in high school, and now he's, I mean, this is, I'm not, it's hard to believe it's the same guy. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And again, I think sometimes we think, well, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. But nothing's ever really going to change. Why not? Well, I just don't see it. I haven't seen it before. God said in his book, it can happen. So that's, you know what that means? It can happen. They are wondering if you're the same person. You know what you're in a way? No, you're not. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You've been born again. A new creation in Christ. Letter C. Ready? The impossible happens when we trust and obey the Master. The impossible happens when we trust and obey the Master. Even if that is all we know to do, or all we know of him, we simply trust and obey, to believe that he is a reward of them who diligently seek him. He said, are you sure you're the same? Yeah, I'm him. Well, yeah, but the impossible has happened. Look at verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? In other words, if you're really the blind man, like you say, then how in the world do you explain that now you can see? Because life doesn't work that way. What you're saying is impossible. We want an explanation. So what's his explanation? A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed. And I received my sight. That's what I did. I simply obeyed. Listen, I'm telling you, some people, again, God does not make it difficult. There's so many things in the Bible we ought to just do, and we think, well, that can't mean that. That's too simplistic. Or he doesn't really expect me to make that kind of decision. Well, we got to add my thoughts in here, the world's thoughts in here, the world's philosophy here and there to make this thing work. No. Do it like he said. And like I said last week, how in the world is more dirt in his eye going to make his eyes better? Huh? This doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have to. He's here to manifest the wonderful works of God. If it made sense, we wouldn't attribute it to God. So why is this the way it works? Well, that's too easy. So where is this guy now? Verse 12. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I know not. You expect us to believe a fish tale like that? And isn't it convenient that this miracle worker just seems to be nowhere in sight now? You're just looking for your 15 minutes of fame or some kind of shyster. I don't know about you guys. You know, I don't know what you... Maybe you never were blind. It's amazing what we'll do. Try to explain away the impossibilities of God. Number three, the reaction of the Pharisees. The reaction of the populace was, let's just explain it away. The reaction of the Pharisees, letter A, they reject the evidence. Don't confuse me with the facts. We already know the facts. We've been studying. I are educated. Whereas Dr. Smith would say, I am edubicated. I are edubicated, and I already know the facts. Don't confuse me with the truth. Verse 13. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. There it is. And there he's standing right in front of them. There's the evidence. Letter B, the rejection of the master. They reject the evidence because they've already rejected the master. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. But the other hand is also there. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So they reject the man in spite of the evidence of the miracle. You know why? Because the impossible isn't in their vocabulary. It's not one of their choices. Now, God's not a he's not a magician trying to a sleight of hand, trying to entertain us with magic tricks and doing things to wow us. That's not what he's saying. He wants us to obey him in very practical ways. But we say, well, I don't see how that's going to work. Trust me, he says. You just do it, and my promises will come true. Letter C, they rejected the potential of God. The potential of God. You think about all that God is. God's potential is a little bit greater than ours. He could do some things we don't think we could do. But we look at life and say, boy, God, it sure would be nice if you did thus and so and thus and so. And somehow it's kind of in our mind that I could believe that part. I think I could believe it up to that point. Now, this thing over here, I don't know. God, I'm not sure how in the world you're going to do that. You're on your own on that one. Hey, you know what I'm saying? We need to accept the potential of God. They rejected the potential of God. Look at verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. So now they're saying, well, then you must not have ever been blind in the first place. Well, everybody in town knew who he was. This can't be right. You know what? Listen, I wish I could get Sterl to tell you who this is. I can't remember who it is. Maybe Nathan knows. Those guys have memories like a steel trap. But there was a very well-known atheist, evolutionist atheist, who said, evolution must be true because our only other choice is that there's a God. And we can't let that happen. I can get it for you. That's, you know what? It's almost like there's got to be another way. Otherwise, that means God's sovereign, God's the authority, God's in control. He's the boss. He's right and I'm wrong. This is probably his book. We can't let that happen. So we got to figure out a way to make this look like it's the funny pages. The Pharisees want the testimony of the man. Well, listen to this. They want the testimony of the man against Jesus. But what good is that if they have already decided not to believe in the miracle? He was never blind. They blame Jesus for being a sinner because he, watch me, they blame Jesus because being a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath day. At the same time, they refused to believe that the man had actually been blind and was now healed. Now, are you catching this here? Which is it? Did Jesus do something supernatural on the Sabbath day that only God can do and you're upset? Or was this all a farce? And there was no healing. And Jesus has not violated the Sabbath day, as they're accusing. If he didn't heal on the Sabbath day, he didn't violate the Sabbath day. So they're mad at him for violating the Sabbath day for doing something they said he didn't do. You catching me? Isn't it stupid the way we try to finagle these things around? And we're not careful to say, oh, they're just so smart. No, we don't understand. It's not because they're so smart. It's because they're idiots. I've had teachers in school that were very, very intelligent, and I didn't understand it. Well, I was bored because I didn't understand it, but they knew what they were talking about. But I've had a few teachers who didn't know what they were talking about, and I was very bored because I still didn't understand what they were saying. But it's obvious the whole mess of it was just a bunch of foolishness. They don't know what they're talking about. Number four. So in other words, let me go back. So they rejected the evidence. Whatever the evidence is, we're not with it. If he healed on the Sabbath day, then he's in trouble. If he didn't heal on the Sabbath day because the boy was never blind in the first place, he's a liar. He's in trouble no matter what which way it goes. Okay, so we had a reaction of the populace. What did I tell you they do? Rationalize the impossible. Reaction of the Pharisees, they reject the evidence. Number four, the reaction of the parents. We can finish this. The reaction of the parents. Now, you may be seeing yourself or maybe somebody you know in some of these things. I want you to have some insight. And this is what this message is doing. The reaction of the parents is this: to retreat from the conflict. To retreat from the conflict. His parents plead the fifth. They want to lay low, be noncommittal, sidestep the issue, because they're just scared they're going to get in a mess they don't want to. There's an awful lot of Christians who just clam up. I don't know. Ask the preacher. I don't know. I just want everybody to be happy. What do they do? Look at verse 18. For the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. Again, so why were they upset with him doing that on the Sabbath day? Until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, well, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We don't know. We know not. He's of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. I don't know. Just what? I don't want to get into this. I don't want to be here. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already. You know the word there? They agreed already. They're during their interrogation now, but they had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And that's why they said, well, he's of age, ask him. The Pharisees already made their decision to don't mess with the, I'm going to reject the evidence. I don't care what the evidence says. We've already got the verdict. And so you got these people who think he is, and some people think he isn't. And then we got some people who just want to run down the middle of the road. Number five, the reaction, I couldn't find a good word for this, the reaction of the patient, the man born blind, the one who was healed, the reaction of the patient. The Pharisees have made their decision and are thus blinded to the truth. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man's a sinner. So they've already condemned Jesus. Done deal. Let her be the blind man's faith. The reaction of the patient, he had faith. Simple faith. The man had trusted and obeyed even before he saw Jesus. He couldn't see Jesus until he could see. But he couldn't see until he already walked by faith. He walked in the light that was given him. That simple light was, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He walked in the light that was given to him, and when he did, he was given more light to walk in. The Pharisees could see Jesus, and they could see the evidence. And all through these chapters, they saw it over and over again, these last few chapter we talked about, and still would not accept what the light had revealed. They'd already made their decision. The man trusted and obeyed, even though no one had ever heard of a blind man being given his sight. You know what he said? God revealed the impossible, and he didn't question it. There's some things God's asking you to do. There's some things that God is asking you to give to him for him to fix. Well, that'll never happen. God says, let me do the impossible. Well, how am I going to do that? Just trust and obey. Do what you're supposed to do. Live like you're supposed to live. Follow the word of God. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with my problem. No, it has everything to do with your walk with God. And when you're walking with God, God takes care of the problems. Listen, life is not about having God fix your problems. Life is about walking with him. And when you walk with the Father, he's there. He takes care of the problems as we go. But if you're going to walk away from him, then you're on your own. Let her see, what did he do? He rejoiced in the truth. He rejoiced in the truth. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I know, what was that song we sang? I know not what, though, but I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't know a lot of things. I don't understand a lot. I don't know all the theology. But I know him. Then said they unto him, What did he to thee? And how opened he thine eyes? This must be some kind of trick that he played on you, or some kind of trick you're trying to play on us. Tell us again, and we'll find the falsehood in your story. That's what they're kind of saying. Now he just rejoiced the truth. Letter D. He accepted the light God gave him. He accepted the light God gave him. He trusted it, and he obeyed it. You cannot say you accept it. unless you trust and obey it. You can say you looked at it. You can say you considered it. You can say you didn't throw it away. But you haven't accepted until you trust and obey it. Letter E. The man that is supposed to be blind has been given light. He walked in the light and watched. He was given more sight, more light. The men who think that they can see are blind and are too blind to see how blind they are. And a blind man is not scared of the dark. Listen, those people, the dark looks no different to them than the light. A blind man is not scared to walk into a dark room. He has very little electric bill. Makes no difference. He's numb to the darkness, if you will. And we refuse God, we're refusing everything else that we think is impossible. And we basically are numb to everything God can do. Verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing. But you know not from whence he is. Yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Thou hast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? Isn't that something? A man who's born blind, never read a word of Scripture on his own, caught just whatever he caught here, all of a sudden has insight into truth that these Pharisees don't. They don't see truth, but that blind boy does. You know why? I'll tell you why. He walked in the light, and God gave him some more light. They're walking in darkness, and they're going to stay in the darkness until they accept the light. Letter F. Truth is dismissed. Truth is dismissed. They answered and said to him, thou hast altogether borne in sins. Dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They don't know what to do with him, so they just kick him out. Almost done here. You know, there's a lot of churches that do that these days. There's some issue arises. And they don't know from the Word of God, they don't know enough of the Bible to deal with the issue properly. So you know what they do? They just kick the person, the troublemaker, out. Out of sight, out of mind, as if that solves the problem. Listen, there's some tough decisions we have to make from time to time. I'll tell you what, church are way too quick just to throw somebody out. Now, if they're having a problem and they're a deacon, well, you might dismiss them from their position. Those types of things are important, I understand. But where do sinners go if they can't go to church? And he that hath no sin, cast the first stone. Not justifying sin. I'm making much of a Savior. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We need to be willing to receive whatever the light reveals, even if what it reveals is impossible. See, Jesus is not an ordinary man. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said, him, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. What we would normally rationalize away, what we would reject no matter the evidence, maybe what we would ordinarily retreat from, is possible with God. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe on the Son of God? I'm not talking about just as Savior, which is absolutely imperative. What's that next step in your life? 2 Peter 1 says, giving all diligence to add to your faith. This getting saved is just the start. God's not going to pop all this stuff on you. We need to, listen, we will add to our faith. If these things be in you and abound, maybe you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the lack of these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. We can have the victorious Christian life, but when we look at God and look at what he reveals, we got to look at it through the eyes of the impossible. Don't make up your own impossible. If God says, then it's no longer impossible. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to him, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Are you also blind? When God reveals truth, even something that looks too good to be true, what's your reaction? Father, thank you for speaking to us here tonight. Thank you for doing your work in our hearts. Thank you for doubting you when we know that your promises are true. All your word is true. If your salvation, your word is true, the scriptures were given to us and they're able to make one wise into salvation, but they're also profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, we may be thoroughly furnished in all good works. May we not look at the word and your promises as impossibilities, but look at them as possible with amazing God. Thank you for speaking to us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.